Hello and welcome to Health Matters on Channels Television. Thanks for staying with us. I am Mary Alale Yusuf. As at Friday, February the 19th, there were more than 110 million confirmed cases of COVID-19 globally. More than 62 million people had recovered, and the death toll is over 2.4 million. In Nigeria, cases are close to 151,000. More than 127,000 people have recovered and 1,813 have died. That's a little over 6,000 new infections in a week and more than 8,500 recoveries. Recovery rate is up to 84.5% and case fatality rate is steady at 1.2%. Total samples tested are over 1.4 million, but just about 42,000 within the week. Generally, people exhibit fear, anxiety, and stress as responses to difficult situations. But nobody was expecting something as huge and life-changing as the COVID-19 pandemic, which has posed enormous challenges to physical and mental health globally. We want to look at staying healthy mentally. My guest is a consultant psychiatrist and the medical director of Pinnacle Medical Services, joining us via Zoom, Dr. Memuna Kadiri. You're welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Now, we know that fear, anxiety, and stress are normal when it's not too much, but abnormal when it's too much. Now, with COVID-19, would you say there's more alarming cases or symptoms of mental unwellness, if you can allow me that word?
Thank you very much for the question. And I would say congratulations for those of us that are still alive 1 year into COVID-19. And may the souls of those we've lost rest in perfect peace. It's not easy because people have lost loved ones. And we know that some of them directly or indirectly. But is that when COVID-19 hit, we all just assume it's one of those illnesses. Within 2-3 months, everything will, be fine. But now we are 1 year into it and we are not still seeing, the end result. Are people now more, as people increase in the rate of fear, anxiety, maybe sleep issues, have they increased over this period of time? Yes. Mary, I will tell you collectively, globally, now we know it's a global pandemic since WHO announced it, we are all collectively traumatized. That is one thing we all have to understand. And then, of course, we are all trying to adapt to the new normal. So for me, for each and every one of us, is for us to accept that this is our new normal, not necessarily agreeing with it, but acknowledging it. When you do that, it helps you to stay more mentally stable. So when COVID started, I was looking for something very relatable that people can know how this virus is affecting us mentally. And some new vocabularies came in on board that period. One vocabulary that everybody to date now knows is happening is the word pandemic. And I will tell you how relatable that is when it comes to how the COVID-19 virus is affecting us mentally. The P-A-N-D-E-M-I-C, the word pandemic, is a very relatable acronym on how COVID-19 virus is affecting us. P is panic. Everybody panicked. Panic buying, panic the fact that you have COVID, panic the fact that somebody you know will have COVID, panic the fact that you will die, and all that, and it's still ongoing because of this second surge. A is anxiety. Anxiety has so increased with fear, with the fact that if I have it, will I die? I have elderly ones. How do I relate with them? Loneliness will come in. Now, working from home, and I'm an extrovert. I need human interaction. Anxiety and fear is still on the increase. N is not sleeping and eating well. Now, there's a new word called chronosomnia or covidsomnia, meaning the COVID-19 has disrupted our sleep cycle. So people are beginning not to have better sleep. sleep, which was, so for some people, it was bad. It was not as good, but now it's even worse. So not sleep and not eating well, that is the end. The D is depression. Have cases of depression increased during this period? Yes. In fact, studies as of last year, and before COVID rather, was that 25% of Nigerians needed mental health services. But as it is now, over 40% of Nigerians need mental health services. So you can imagine how much people we know that need this, and anxiety, depression, and substance abuse top the scale of those diseases that are more predominant as it is right now. What is E? E is like a brother to D, experiencing suicidal thoughts. Apart from the COVID that happened, we know what happened October 2020. The NSAS movement issues came. And of course, the hoodlums, the vandalization, people lost their lives, people lost their source of livelihood. That again pushed, you know, people to that, you know, to the south, and people were, you know, just taking their lives. These are Nigerians that, in quote, are supposed to be the happiest people on earth. Why would we be killing, you know, dying by suicide? That is the E. The M is maladaptive coping mechanism. People are not coping as it is. You know, they say when the center cannot hold, things begin to fall apart. We thought this in 2-3 months, 6 months, it would be over. It's not over. Then the second surge came with people dying more than the first surge. So all that maladaptiveness, why people now an increase in the rate of abusing substances, drugs, those maladaptive coping mechanisms are there. The I is impaired thought processes. This comes where the conspiracy theories are. 5G, 7G, now vaccines are here. There's so many conspiracy theories about vaccine. Oh, such organization is not pushing it and all that. And the last but not the least in the pandemic acronym is confusion. Aren't you still confused? There's so much confusion. We don't know what is happening. When you go to US, now they're telling us use double mask. The normal mask and the cloth mask. So you see where, so you see where things are just, you know, we are just in that bubble. Schools have resumed. A lot of schools say, look, do screening before you bring the children. Parents say, look, if we do screening and bring our children, teachers will screen, security will screen, cooks will screen. And if we want to do that, how can we sustain it? So there's still a lot of confusion. And I would say, to round up the question you asked, are people having more issues now than before? Yes. And people are coming down with what we call post-traumatic stress disorders.
Okay, let me, I like it when you say we have all been affected by this pandemic. Am I right then in saying that every single person has experienced a sort of mental challenge? Maybe not responded in the same way, but has experienced the challenge. Is that correct?
In one way or the other, yes. I can bet you in one way or the other. We can't all be happy. You wake up some days, it's just looking gloomy. You are just unhappy. You don't even know what. You are intentionally and deliberately looking for ways to just make you happy, to just take away that blues, to just make you feel good with yourself. So in one way or the other, yes, that is happening. But you know, some people, because we are all unique, and because our recovery and, you know, healing is a personal journey. We heal differently, we recover differently. And some people have been able to devise ways where they can cope better than some others. And this is not the time where now somebody is not reaching out to you, you've not heard from the person, you're like, oh, let me cut out all these toxic people. Do you know what is happening to the person?
Exactly. Oh, exactly.
So for me, I tell people when I meet, I say, look, please, not at this point in time, just be kind. And when I say just be kind, first, let that kindness start with you. And then you will be able to be kind to other people you meet on a day-to-day basis, because truly we do not know what people are dealing with.
Okay.
We don't know their challenge.
Before I go into, you know, how you can be kind to yourself before being kind to others, let me ask you, have you seen any of these mental problems culminates in a physical manifestation on the body of the sufferer?
No, obviously we've seen quite a number of, you know, cases like that. For Pinnacle Medical Services, we are supporting over 70,000 Nigerian employees and their family members. So you can imagine the rapidity of our calls, people walking into the center. When the NSAS now happened, it was a mess. So of course, people are coming down with panic attacks. People are coming down with, you know, I can't sleep. People are becoming even paranoid. You know, somebody is doing me. I can't work from home. Mary, I can tell you for free, and our children are even suffering this more than us. Children are doing online schooling. Who told us that our children want to be on the screen for so long? And you know, because a number of organizations are doing remote working. Now you are at home. Your children are at home for parents. And you are trying to focus in your meeting. And
a lot of distraction. A lot of distraction.
All that, you know, happening in your life. People are just sitting down without any, they're just crying. Sometimes people just come into our office and just be crying. So people will call our helpline, the counseling line, and just cry. 1 a.m., they're just crying. And of course, our own duty is to create that safe space for them, listen to them, not judgmentally, don't criticize, don't judge them, don't be apostolic towards them, and just allow them to unpack their emotions. So we are seeing that high rate of people who just, you know, coming in. Some people just want to come and sleep. They don't want their home anymore. They just want to come to a place in case anything happens to them. They have doctors and nurses, you know, that we attend to them. So people are really struggling. That is the fact.
Okay, let's go to the part where you say people should be kind to themselves, because this is something you can do to help yourself cope, right? How are you kind to yourself at this time?
So the thing is that as individuals, one thing that is certain is that you are you. You are unique. You must. That's one thing I have to put it. It's not should or would. Don't make that statement. In 2021, I will start taking care of my. I would try and see if I can take care of my mental health. In 2021, I will take care of my mental. It has to be an intentional act. It has to be a deliberate act, and it has to be a continuous thing. So that when you understand who you are, and these are key factors of emotional intelligence, right? You have to now start building your emotional bank. We must learn how to be emotionally bankable. If you go to bank, what do? Either deposit or withdraw money. But how many of us are intentional about our emotional bank? How emotionally bankable are you? What are you depositing in your emotional bank? So when you need it, you can withdraw. So when I say be kind to yourself, it's knowing who you are, taking time out, self-care, self-love. It's never selfishness. In fact, is self-preservation. You don't have to give when you don't have, because you can't give what you don't have. And you cannot give from a place of deficit. You must give from a place of abundance. So being kind to yourself is about kind to your body, mind, and soul. Because when you don't experience it, truly you cannot give what you don't have.
Okay, so I let's say I want to be kind to myself. What kind of things can I do for myself to be kind?
Beautiful. Let's use the acronym. So I'm filled up with acronyms, and I think they are very relatable terminologies that we can easily grab. Self-care. What does it entail? The S here is self-awareness. Know what are your triggers. Know what are your stressors. You cannot manage it if you don't know what it is. If you don't know what your stressors are, in fact, if you don't know who is stressing you, that person will always be in your inner circle, and you continuously, you will be stressed for the rest of your life. So the S is self-awareness, knowing your triggers and knowing how to manage it. The E is exercise. Exercise is not for you to start, I want to lose weight. No, let me tell you what exercise does for us. It's a non-medication treatment for anxiety, depression, stress. When you exercise, it boosts your feel-good hormones called the endorphins, and they make you feel happier. It relieves you, makes you feel rejuvenated, revamped, and re-energized. L is limit your exposure to excessive news. My best news 10 p.m. channels. I know when I come to watch channels, there are some news I don't bother watching because earthquake is happening here. Some people are dying here. It messes up with my psyche. So exposure to, you know, excessive news. Schedule when you want to watch news. No, mute your notification. If some apps are not good for your mental, uninstall it. It is your phone, it is your money, it is your data. The F here is
okay. Let me quickly jump in there. We're going on to the next letter, but let's do that after the break. We'll take a short break now. Please stay with us. Welcome back. We're getting into how you can help yourself and others stay mentally stable in this pandemic, in this time of trouble. This is Health Matters, and we are doing mental health. You can call 0805-468-3514 for any questions on mental wellness, and you can tweet at CTV_MaryA as we get into the rest of the matter about how to help yourself. Doctor, we were talking about the L.
Yeah, so I was in L, which I said, let me take a shot to excessive news. Schedule where you want to go on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know. Mute those notifications. If some particular apps are not good for you now, uninstall it. It's your phone, it's your data, it's your money. Don't be pressured into the FOMO syndrome. That's the fear of missing out. You don't need it at this point in time. If your only aim is staying alive right now, please feel free to do that. Fear is fine and engage in pleasurable activities. Is it gardening? Is it, you know, meeting with other people? The thing is that you don't have to be in other people's houses. Virtual spaces now are now so embraced. People accept. In fact, anything, send me the link. Parties are happening online. Weddings are taking place. Naming ceremony. There's so much that you can do. You can even do wine tasting parties. So find and engage in those pleasurable activities. They keep you relaxed, keep you calm, and of course, promote your mental wellness. The C is connect. Connect with people, people that are good for your mental health, your healthy support system, friends, colleagues, and loved ones. If you feel you are at risk, you don't have to visit, then you connect. Phones are there. Video calls are there. Just do what you know you need to do. You are not an island. You need people around you. Human connection is very key at this point. A is ask for help. Asking for help, I will tell you, is a sign of strength and never a sign of weakness. In fact, the word that we all learned during the NSAS was sorosoke. This is the time for us, sorosoke. If you need help, sorosoke, call on somebody who you know will help you, that will not use you to form gist, but that will help you and get help for you. And of course, what is the R? Rest and sleep. Ah. There is no award for the best person on earth. There
okay.
is no award.
So
time out. Last now, but not the least.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Now you have helped yourself. You're feeling good. You're feeling balanced. Yeah. How do you transfer this to someone else who calls you, for example?
Good. In transferring to somebody else who calls me, for example, first, if you understand that I'm in a good place, I help that person. That is the self-awareness. If you're not in a good place to help the person, feel free to say you are not in a good place. That is where some of us have issues. But if you are in a good place to help someone, you must be like a conversation starter, and I will tell you four statements you can use. The first thing you can ask the person is, how are you? You know, sometimes when we ask people, how are you, we're not looking at the person if you can see the thing, and we are not looking at the non-verbal communication. Even if you are seeing the person, the phone conversation, you can know that the pitch has gone low or the person is dragging his or her words. Those are things, because it's somebody you know before. So if the person, I'm fine. You should know, really, how are you? And be genuine in asking those questions. The second statement you can actually ask is that, what are the good things happening in your life right now? Mary, truly, there are bad things happening, but also some good things in our lives. The third question is that, what are your challenges? Don't say, what are your problems? When you say, what are your problems? It looks too big, but we all face challenges. And when the person tells you his or her own challenges, if you can help, help. The person needs money. You don't have money, and you can contribute 10,000. Give the person 10,000 and say, this is what I have, but I don't have the loan you are asking for. The last but not the least is that, how can I help you? Not because you saw me on Facebook by 11 p.m. on I was on WhatsApp by 12 p.m. I'm fine. Because a lot of times, that's what we do. You're on WhatsApp, and I saw you on Facebook. Do you know if somebody is helping me to run my social media? So we as individuals, when you reach out to people, don't judge them. Listen to them, not judgmentally. Don't criticize them. Don't trivialize their issues. At this point in time, we all need to be able to build what we call a culture of compassion. And when we build the culture of compassion, it's a space safe for each and every one of us where we can speak up and get the much needed help.
An unprecedented number of healthcare professionals are getting infected. This is the first time you hear 75 people caught the virus and they are all health workers. 20 doctors died in 1 week. How do you handle the mental health of healthcare workers at this time? Because they have to work.
Sad. I can't. No, I'm personally involved in that. And if we want to bring it home to Nigeria, we don't have enough doctors. And then the few that are working in these centers are burning out and burning out really bad. And so you see some of the doctors, they're checking out of the COVID centers because they're just tired. They're tired not because they don't want to work, not because they don't enjoy their work, but because, you know, people are dying and they're faced with, you know, a whole lot of all the negativity, relatives will scream on them. The nurses are also, you know, overstretched, working 24-hour shift nonstop, and your body will also shut down. So for doctors and nurses, let me just say healthcare workers, because it's not only doctors and nurses that form healthcare that are part of the healthcare team, is for us to understand that self-care is important. It's for us to understand that burnout is real, because you are your own biggest asset. If you burn out, you'll be useless to yourself and be useless to others. This is a time for our institution to bring on board, you know, help to find, devise other ways we can get other people to come in to help. And so people can have that time for themselves. And I know this is difficult because if you tell me to come and work in a COVID center now, I'm already overworked. I may not be able to. I'm actually doing that with the psychosocial support, but working in on a day-to-day basis with people in ICU is difficult.
Okay, so let us quickly take this call from Kelly at Ikorodu. Hello, Kelly.
Felix is my name. You are getting me wrong.
Okay.
I'm working at your health mental at my television. If you are listening to the question, you ask the doctor that how will you get the help to someone that needs the help to her? That's a good question to do. How do we get connected to this health? Because this time when we have cough, let's say this cough needs to be treated at the corona center. And most of these hospitals, we have been going as health, mental something. They are also checking. Is it that at this hospital, they are not doing the right thing to tell us which among is corona or which one is cough to be treated with them? That's my question this morning.
Wait, are you saying you are not being told what you have?
No, I'm being traced. What I have is that I'm listening to the mental health and also seeing dry cough, diarrhea, most of the things, you know, of this weather today. Most of our little children are coughing, most of those coughs. Which among can we come to meet this health? Which is the right place for the right health, for the health to come in? That's my question this morning.
Okay. Dr. Kadiri?
I didn't get that question. Can you reiterate that?
He's asking, you know, children cough and all that. Where can they go for help? When must they go for help? You know, some people are confused. What kind of cough is this? I don't know. How do they get help?
So the thing is that the first thing is that not if you have cough, you don't have to start running to go and do a COVID test. It may just be normal cough. It may be, you know, flu. So the first point of call is to visit your primary healthcare physician or even watch and see, is this cough testy? Is it affecting me? Am I having catarrh with the cough? And so it's not because we are in COVID era, every cough is COVID. No, it's just like people saying every fever is malaria. So please, if you're a primary healthcare physician, that is your first point of call. And if it's a child, visit the child's pediatrician. So let us not get more anxious and, you know, make it look like everything COVID. They will be able to tell you, okay, this is just a normal, regular flu. Take this and you'll be fine. And if it is COVID-related symptoms, they can refer you properly to do a COVID test and get the normal treatment that that is required for COVID-related cases.
Okay, I must thank you very much, Dr. Memuna Kadiri. As usual, very engaging. And we're out of time. Thank you so much for coming to the show. This is the
thank
end of the
show. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, everyone. Stay safe and remain safe and be safe. God bless us all.
And thank you at home for being with us. Stay safe, please. And have a great day. I am Mary Alale Yusuf.